The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the NBA. We're going to have ourselves a brand new flavor for your ear. Welcome, everyone, to the Final Play Podcast. We are going to bust out some NBA, some trade deadline stuff, some post-All-Star game stuff, which was a little bit of a disaster if you want to read about, if you want to read on social media about all that sort of stuff. And we've also got ourselves a new co-pilot on this aeroplane into nowhere. Introducing a special friend of mine, special friend of the show, fellow championship winning player as well for our Division III team up here in Townsville, Matthew
number one.
Sherrington. That's right, number one, baby. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast, mate. How you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Thanks for having me, Moles.
That's all right. Yeah, we've had a little bit of a work issue with our regular co-host, with Jason. So he's decided to become an extreme workaholic, and we've had to go at the back and shoot him, and we'll never hear from him again. No. But yeah, he's taken on a little bit of extra work for himself. So this podcast is obviously a little bit secondary compared to that, but you know, we try and charge on, and unfortunately we probably won't be able to do anything with the NRL this year, which kind of sucks, but we'll keep everybody sort of up to date with big things that happen. But, yeah, we'll carry on with what we're doing with the NBA. I guess, we kick things off, even though it was a couple of weeks ago now, your thoughts on the whole All-Star, I guess everything to do with the All-Star. I didn't mind the Rising Stars format, with the few teams. And then, yeah, the first to 50, and then you lose, see you later, and we'll carry on to play. So I didn't actually mind that sort of format on the Friday night with the Celebrity All-Star game.
Yeah, I thought that worked quite well. Made it a bit more interesting. They seem to keep tweaking it. They'll eventually get to a formula that works.
I mean, I think this can work, I guess. I guess it's sort of trying to make it a little bit more meaningful for the younger guys rather than just going out there and just being a glorified training run, which the All-Star game kind of has turned into in recent years, but looks like it's sort of coming back to a little bit of original luster, which it used to have, and people actually playing a little bit of defense.
Yeah.
I thought Friday night was okay. Saturday night, on the other hand, was very, hit and miss, shall we say. The new format for the skills challenge was a little bit strange, yep, to say the least. So the host city was Cleveland, so they had to have their Cleveland representatives there. That was all very strange. That it's a totally new sort of court format as well, where instead of just, yeah, bounce passes and It was very ordinary, the skills challenge. It was, I don't think I watched a whole lot of that. I don't know about you.
Nope, same here, mate. Yep, I find that all glazes the eyes over a little bit, to be honest.
I'm glad it's sort of first because, yeah, you can sort of, I guess you can turn the TV on and then zone out a little bit and wait for the 3-point contest to sort of come on, which, had a little bit more flair with the big man Cat. Yeah. Winning the 3-point contest. I thought that was a little bit out of the blue, especially him paying $13, to win it. But, and yeah, I guess my new man, CJ McCollum, newly acquired, CJ McCollum with the Pelicans, not doing very well. And him saying at the start of the All-Star weekend, I think he must have had a look at what he was paying, and he sort of put out on Twitter, paying $8 for me to win the 3-point contest. Get on that. So I took his advice and got on that and was very disappointed.
Well, that's not very nice of CJ, is it, mate?
No, that's right. You know, that's just gotten me and him off to a rocky start. But the way that he's been playing in a Pelicans uniform,
yeah, he's been impressive.
Outstanding, to say the least. But, yeah, Karl Anthony Towns winning the 3-point shootout was, yeah, I guess sort of a little bit out of left field. I thought that it could have been a little bit, I thought it could have been a little bit better. Like, we've had better 3-point shooters throughout the league this year. And some of the, look, Patty Mills absolutely deserved to be there. You know, CJ has been really good from, but I thought some of the snubs, you know, obviously no Steph and no Clay.
And Bobby Portis.
Well, that's right. You know, Bobby's been, Bob, we should get this straight off the bat. Matt is a, Milwaukee Bucks fan. So he's still riding high off a championship last year. So yes. you can't wipe the smile off his face in with anything to do with the Bucks at the moment. But, look, Bobby's been great. I thought a snub with no Clay, no Steph. Look, no Middleton.
Mm.
Look, he's been money from three this year as well. No Buddy Hield.
Yeah, so I don't know if they need to incentivize people better to get involved with it or something. But
I don't know whether it's the incentive to get in there or they're just simply not inviting them. Like, yeah. why wouldn't somebody like Buddy Hield or even Gary Trent Jr.? Trent Jr. had a really solid, you know, sort of couple of months to start this season off.
Lighting it up,
and it's been shooting lights out from three. So, you know, guys like that, you know, like I said, Middleton, it's just, if they're just, surely they're not declining the opportunity to come and do this.
You'd think not. I mean, it's not like it's taken much of a toll on them to
do a exactly. Why wouldn't you want to go to the, like, if you're having a big season, okay, yeah, there's a few guys that would be like, well, the hell with that. I want to have my week off mid-season, and I don't want to have that broken up with. But it's, you still, even after the All-Star break, there was like that, the game would have been, yeah, it's finished Sunday. There was no games on TV until Thursday. I think there was a TNT Thursday. So they still had 4 days off after
good
that.
Good break, yeah.
So it's a decent little, you know, chunk of break that they have. But I just thought that was a little disappointing that they didn't have sort of those guys in there.
Lucky nights,
could have made it a little bit more interesting. And then the dunk contest was just...
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Jeez. Oh, my Lord. Talking about, you know, incentivization to get some sort of name or something like that in there. That was a total and utter disaster.
It was embarrassing. They need to change the format entirely. This 6-7 attempts to get one dunk, it just makes the whole thing boring. It loses all its punch when they finally hit a dunk because they're not getting it on their first or second attempt. You've been waiting for 10 minutes. By the time they get it, you're like,
I think as soon as you, like, when you miss the first attempt, the air goes out of the building.
Mm.
If you make it on the second one, I think the crowd are still engaged. But once you just continue on, there's a Jalen Green that just wouldn't accept the fact that he couldn't buy a dunk. And it's just like, I'm out. Like, it just, yeah, they had a time limit and everything on him. It's just like, this is not happening, man. Like, Toscano Anderson, I think was it him and Obi Toppin in the final? Mm. It was extremely lackluster. Happy for Aiden and his New York Knicks actually sort of getting a little bit of, a little bit of fanfare and a little bit of, front seat for a little bit for his New York Knicks.
Got to get one win this season. Might as well be a crappy slam dunk contest.
One trophy they can hold up high since I think, yeah, like Kenny Skywalker in dunk contest. So congratulations to Obi Toppin, I guess, for winning the dunk contest. And putting
50,000 Isaiah Ryder dunks.
Like that. There was a dunk. There was a dunk. The people are doing that shit mid game now.
Mm.
Like it's just not impressive anymore. Jackson Hayes did it on a fast break for the Pels the other day. It's happening everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when you're a big guy, like Obi Toppin, what's he, 6'8", 6'9", like that's still impressive. But when you've got when you got them long levers, you know, it makes it, I don't know, makes it a little bit flat.
And a little less exciting to watch, yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, when you miss the first attempt, and then the second attempt, and then the third attempt, and then they pan across to Shaquille O'Neal, and he's just got this dumbfounded, stunned look on his face, going, "Oh my god!" Like, and then the judges, like, the minimum score you can give to people was 5, and I guarantee you that if there was a 0 button on that little panel, they would have been pushing zeros a lot. But I thought David Robinson was quite harsh in his scores. He wasn't having any of it.
It's the Navy upbringing, mate. Yep, he knows crap when he sees it.
He was very unimpressed. He was a very hard critic on the dunk contest. But so if we shift on to All-Stars Sunday, you know, the main event of the evening or the weekend, Team LeBron and Team KD. Team KD just can't seem to get over the hump when it comes to, well, anyone really versus Team LeBron, whether it's Team Giannis or Team LeBron. Nobody seems to be able to get over the hump, I guess. So I do like the way that, and we've said this before, I do like the way that they have over the last few years changed the fourth quarter format to sort of make it, like you said, incentivized so they can, you know, I guess, play a little bit of defense.
Yeah, have a bit of a structured target to aim for.
So it turns into 24 points. Whoever's score is up, you add 24 onto that, and that's the end game. So, and I guess we'd be remiss in reminding everybody that that Steph Curry just absolutely lit. I was just about to say the Gund Arena on fire then, but I don't think it's been the Gund Arena in about 25 years. But yeah, he lit the queue alight with 16 triples and there was triples that he's just firing and then just turning around looking straight at the crowd.
Yep.
That was unbelievable. Man.
He's
like that's just a reminder of you know when you can get a hot streak and you know he's the greatest shooter that anybody's ever seen. You know, in this game, they also had the, I guess a lot of legends in the house as well when they had the presentation of the 75, greatest players in NBA history. A little bit of, reoccurring beef with Ray Allen and, Kevin Garnett, which just culminated in just one glare. I guess that circled social media rather quickly, which is pretty funny.
Unlike KG to cause issues, you know. That's right.
Yeah, clean cut. Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, just a stand up guy. Like, just not an antagonist at all. I thought what was really cool about that too was, you know, it was at Cleveland for the 75th anniversary. The last time that the All-Star game was in Cleveland, and I'm just hitting you I bet you don't know when, but it sort of makes fitting that the last time that it was in Cleveland was the NBA at 50.
Oh.
So that's why I just come up with the Gund Arena. So, that was the last time that the All-Star game was in Cleveland. So, not even prime LeBron years could get the NBA to go to Cleveland. So it had to be 25 years later. There was all sorts of call outs. Like in the back, Michael Jordan's calling out Magic Johnson. You got your shoes. Let's go play one on one now. Like there was a lot of love. There was a lot of love in the building and,
good banter. Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I thought that, I can't remember who it was too. Like somebody, was it just after Cat won the 3-point contest and they're saying, oh, he's the greatest shooting big man in NBA history. And it's just like, pump the brakes. And do we not remember a guy who's only recently retired in Dirk Nowitzki?
Mm.
Like, are we sure we want to lay proclaim to that Karl Anthony Towns is the greatest shooting big man ever? I'm not ready for that.
Out of sight, out of mind. Doesn't take long. People have short memories.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Like, it's, I couldn't believe my ears when I heard that. I can't remember who said it. Really need to write these things down. But, yeah, it's just like, how can we be so quickly in forgetting Dirk Nowitzki? So, let's sort of pump the brakes on that sort of, talk. So we'll push on a little bit. All-Star weekend is behind us. The trade deadline, which Jason and I sort of went out on a limb and said, we don't think that it's going to be very game changing. And look, I'm happy to be wrong. I thought this was one of the more intriguing and definite sort of, you know, big name. Yeah, I guess you could call them big name moves that we had in the last few years. I thought the last few years trade deadlines have been extremely boring and very flat. But, you know, your thoughts on this year's trade deadlines, and we'll go through a few of the moves that I thought were fairly interesting to see, how these guys are going to go with their new teams. Like, what was your thought on the trade deadline?
Well, I guess start off with, I guess what most would consider the big one, which would be, the Nets and Philly. Simo and Harden, two disgruntled people, new homes.
I guess you can call it. That was as earth shattering as you could get, really.
Did not think that'd get a top 10-15 talent for Simmons just from what's happened this year. I thought they'd have to aim lower. There was a lot of talk about your boy CJ earlier on in the season, but
And that was it. Like Simmons, his trade stock had just plummeted every day that this season went on, and every day that this holdout was happening, every day he was being fined. Like, he was fined, I think it's like upwards of like $19 to $20 million already this season, you know, for not participating in team activities. So for Brooklyn to acquire him and get stuff on top is a huge win. Like, Seth Curry, God damn it, I hate how he keeps bouncing around the league. That effing sucks. Like, he is such...
He's a good... He's an excellent piece for that trade. I'll say that.
When I seen that he was included in that Nets deal, it's just like, absolutely. Look, not to say that Philly have been depleted because they've just got James Harden, but for them to include Seth Curry in that deal, and also getting an unprotected 2022 draft pick, it must be for next year's draft. Yeah, and then all the way down the line, they've got a protected 2027.
Yeah, that's the one that I think, could be very interesting. 27, Embiid with his health issues. Don't know what his longevity is going to be like, and Harden's going to be.
Harden'll be long gone by then. 2020, that's 5 years.
So that could end up being quite a nice pick. It is lottery protected. Is it? Is it 1-4?
It is protected. I'm pretty sure it's 1-5 or 1-6, something like that. Okay. So they have put those protections in place for a rainy day. But look, you don't know what the future holds. I guess that's, you know, like what the Lakers did with the Anthony Davis trade as well with the Pels. So lots of futures being thrown around there. So that was definitely, trade.
I will say, on the flip side of that one, if you look long term, the Nets actually had to give up quite a bit to end up with their end result. They end up basically gave up Jared Allen, several firsts, Harden, who they got in to make this offensive Goliath. And they basically, I have to say, Simmons would want to come out firing when he plays, because I think they've come out a net negative overall. That's just my two cents.
Well, and like you said, you know, in previous incarnations of trades and people that they've offloaded, that's right. I think Jared Allen is a big loss. Look at what he's doing at Cleveland at the moment. He's still, you know, he's still keeping on. So, you know, he's still putting up regular double doubles for them, and they are on the extreme youth movement at the moment, and being extremely successful with what they're doing. Same sort of boat as Chicago. I absolutely don't believe in them in the playoffs.
Not yet.
We'll see what happens. Like, this is all good experience for them. for them being the hunted rather than the hunter, I guess. Teams will be sort of coming after them. You know, they're, what are they, 15, 16 games over 500. So, people are, I guess, not taking them lightly, which is, you know, is good for the likes of Darius Garland and Mobley has been awesome as a rookie there. I think he's pretty much a shoe-in for rookie of the year.
I thought it was a bizarre lineup at the start of the season, when they got in Markkanen and signed Jarrett to the big contract and
absolutely
Mobley. But it's panned out. All credit to them.
It is. It's panned out. It'll be interesting to see what sort of matchup they'll get come playoffs, and whether or not it's going to be, like we've sort of said with Brooklyn, just one sort of, I guess, sort of one thing that has come up with Brooklyn as of late. They are on a historical skid. We sort of talked just before we come on here, as of January 22. Let me just have a look at my Tony Kornheiser notes here. So they were 29-16 and atop of the Eastern Conference. So the statistics up until March 7, which is obviously not March 7 now, but this is when I wrote everything down, they are 32-33. So in that stretch, 3-17. Like, even the Rockets have been better than 3-17 in that period. Even the Pistons have been better than 3-17 in that period. And they're fighting for their playoff, not so much playoff lives, but boy, if they get healthy, if the New York State vaccine mandates and all that sort of stupid crap all comes out, and Kyrie Irving can be a contributing factor in the Barclays Center, then they are going to be a real, real tough matchup, and they're going to be lower seeds. They're going to be struggling even now. I think they're just over 500 at the moment. They'll still struggle to make to get out of that sort of seventh position and out of that play-in area. So you won't want to see, if you're a top seed, you won't want to see Brooklyn in a first round matchup. That will be rather epic. So I guess that's Brooklyn sort of, trying to get back in the game a little bit. But yeah, there's a lot's been said about them. It's all ifs. Can they be healthy? KD's missed a multitude of games. Ben Simmons, since going there, has all of a sudden developed a back injury, a back issue. And all he's been doing is a few little workouts by himself and stuff. So is that just extreme sitting on the bench? How do you all of a sudden develop a back issue? I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's what did the big three play for them last year? What was it, like 91 minutes or something all up for the season?
Something like that. Yeah. Something like that. But their record was insane with Kyrie, Harden and KD. That was like an 8-2, I think the 8-2, or there wasn't many games that they actually all played together.
No.
That's sort of come down to a lot of factors, but this year is mostly been the health factor.
Yeah.
And KD's missed multiple games. It's, I guess you could call it a health factor in Kyrie not being vaccinated and having his opinions on what's happening around the league and in the US, and him only playing road games. Him putting up 50 burgers on the road, and Stephen A. Smith sort of come out and he said he's what Stephen A. Smith's like, but yeah, he's disgusted at it because he's robbing the fans. You want to do that in your own arena.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, do you not want to do that in front of your home fans? Like, I know it's nice to shut up the home, the away arena, like by dropping 50, but man, you want to do that in front of your own fans, where you'll actually get adulation.
Yeah, my thoughts on Kyrie aren't for a general family audience, so I won't say too much apart from to say that there seems to be issues wherever he goes, and it seems to be him being the common denominating factor.
It's definitely a common denominator when it comes to, he's just, He's very, very opinionated and a, God damn, he's a good talent, but you just like, well, you gotta take the good, it sucks, you gotta take the good with the bad when it comes to sort of him, his circle, his personality, his demeanor of, I think that I am smarter than you and you and you and you and you and, yeah, and everybody else that's around here. It's just, it's a real arrogance, but man, when he puts it all together on the court.
Yeah, it can't be denied the talent.
No, that's right. You can't be denied. So, anyway, enough of Brooklyn. Like we've talked about them a shit ton this year, but, they're very compelling. So, as we alluded to earlier, I thought that the CJ McCollum trade, I thought was quite, well constructed, with the Pelicans. I didn't think that there was any chance that the Pels were going to get into the game for an actual biggish name that's come across in these trade talks. But for them to land CJ McCollum, and pair him with Brandon Ingram and eventually Zion Williamson, will be, I think for the future, if those guys buy in and you've seen what CJ's done in a Pelicans uniform, it's undeniable.
Yeah, no, he's fit right in. And, I think he's injured at the moment, but I think a player who's extremely underrated, who was another nice piece in that trade, was Larry Nance Jr. He's another guy who can go anywhere and contribute. I don't think he was used properly with the Blazers. I think that's a great trade for the Pelicans. If Zion is going to come back, if he's not going to be the next Oden.
Yeah, look, I don't want to ramble too much on about Zion. Like, there's so much media talk. I like to sort of go with my, I guess, sort of guys on the ground there actually in New Orleans and not with the greater national media talk over there. You know, the giants of ESPN and you know, the guys that report for them. I don't like getting my news from them because all I can see that they're trying to do is rally him to get into a bigger market, make New Orleans look out to be an absolute dumpster fire. And look, the big stars that they've had there previously, CP3, Anthony Davis, have all wanted out. So we've had a change of management. We've got, I guess, a little bit of change in ownership in Gail Benson now owning the team and taking over from a late husband. It's different. It's just different there now. And it takes a little, you're not going to get all these pieces put into place straight away. It's looked bad from the outside, but I like getting my information from guys that are on the ground in New Orleans, because it's bullcrap, the narrative that the national media puts out there about how, Zion's away from the team. He's not even with the team. He's doing these workouts and training and rehab in Portland. And it's like, yeah, that's been approved by the Pelicans. Nobody wants to report that. This has all been pre-approved by New Orleans and the team that, yes, he goes up there, focuses on himself. I've heard a podcast with Stan Van Gundy, who coached him last year, and said he's very much an introvert. Like, you remember The Last Dance? And Michael Jordan, you know, obviously he can't go out anywhere because he's the most recognizable face on the planet. You know, he would be in hotel rooms with his dad and stuff like that when they would go on the road. Zion is the same. He just likes to stick with his small crew. He doesn't like to be out in the spotlight because he's so recognizable. And I don't think he knows or wants to handle all that scrutiny, all that talk, all that limelight being put on him. So he has his small group that he, and that's what I mean. This was all approved for him to go up to Portland, do his rehab, and be away from the team. All approved by the medical staff at the Pelicans. So all this stuff that, oh, he doesn't want to be with the team, and, oh, he didn't communicate with CJ McCollum. Get out of here. Like, big freaking deal. Oh, no, he didn't communicate with CJ McCollum as soon as he got traded there. Who cares? Who cares? It's ridiculous. It just the narrative they try and pick away and pick away. It's just like, leave the kid alone. Let him rehab. Now he's back with the team. He's back at training. It looks like he's going to start putting full weight on that foot. you know, in the coming weeks, there's no chance in hell he plays the rest of this season or any part of this season at all. It would be good for him to get some reps in at training and stuff like that. This season is gone. Let's just get him healthy. Let's get him acquainted.
You think even if they make the playoffs?
There's no point.
Yeah.
I just don't see a point. Like, well, what is the point of if they squeeze into an eight spot and just they've got to go up against Phoenix or Golden State and get wiped off the face of the planet?
Mm.
I just don't see the upside in it at all. I see the upside in him getting practice reps, him maybe getting a little bit slimmer, but getting to know his body. He doesn't want to lose too much weight because, you know, he loses that sort of bully. That bully ball type, but that's right. That's what makes him as unique a player that's been around for a while. I'd like to see him develop something with his right hand. I don't want to see him go the way of an RJ Barrett or a Julius Randle where it is telegraphed. I'm going to go left. And then when I cross over to my right hand, guess what? I'm going to go left anyway. I think they're still extremely one dimensional. Zion needs to sort of develop. A bit of a right-handed game. Not try and get a three-point shot just yet, because even without a three-point shot, he was still 25 plus, 7 rebounds and 60-odd% from the field. That's not bad.
Yeah. Giannis doesn't need one. Zion doesn't need one.
No, look, Giannis is getting to a point where you're going to have to respect the three. You're going to have to force yourself out there.
Yeah, the Clippers been improving, but
that's right.
I mean, against who was it? I think it was Phoenix the other day.
Four from four.
Yeah, but they couldn't stop him inside. It was just foul after foul after foul.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the bread butter, and that's why I won't talk about Giannis too long. I think the boost in his free throw shooting and his new technique has been much more critical than developing an outside shot.
No, that's right. And when it comes to the crunch, like, does he need it in the modern NBA? A lot of people will say yes, but why? Like, why can't you be an outlier?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you just don't need to go the way of, oh, this is the way that the game is going. That's nice. Not everybody shoots threes. You see JaVale McGee lobbing up junk. Do you see, buddy, do you see DeAndre Jordan trying to develop a three? Do you see Dwight Howard trying to, yeah, I guess they're sort of later in their careers, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, there is still a part in this game for big guys, tall guys, to have a low post game. He's got himself a nice little fadeaway jumper. Yeah. At the moment, which I really like. Yeah, I really like that. There's, you know, when he's downhill, he's near impossible to stop.
Yeah. He's ridiculous mix of agility and power.
It's uncanny the way that his game has developed over the last 4 years.
Mm.
And I'm just sort of hoping that Zion can sort of be, he doesn't have to be that. Like, he can be the next Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what he can be. He can be a bully. He can be a bully player. Why not?
Exactly. You don't.
Like, the way that ticky-tack.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way that the bullcrap ticky-tack fouls get called these days. You actually get a half decent post game. You'll live at the free throw line.
Yeah, bloody hope.
Yeah, you will live there. So I thought that, like you said, Larry Nance Jr. coming across.
The other thing
offloaded. A lot of stuff as well. They got rid of Juan Hernan Gomez, who was there for a little bit. They still got Willie there, which is good. They got rid of Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who was a bit of a late sort of developer. He was way too streaky. I don't really like. He can develop into something nice, but I don't think the Pels are willing to wait.
The only part I miss going out is the Hart Foundation. He's a good little player.
He had 41 the other day.
Yeah.
And look, they got rid of Portland. Got rid of, or they got a couple of the Pels draft picks as well. A couple of second rounders and a first rounder for next year as well. I'm not 100% sure if that's their own first rounder or if it's one of the Lakers first rounders.
I think one of them is the one that went across for Drew.
Also, it's a Bucks one, right? So that's actually not too bad because that's going to be a very low or yeah, that's going to be a very you know late first round draft pick. So that's actually a smart move. Another one that I didn't think that would happen, but it did, and there was a lot of talk about this person on how he teams up with another superstar on the team, and that was Kristaps Porzingis being shipped off to the Washington Wizards for Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans. At this point in time, it looks like that the Mavericks have hit the jackpot in that trade because Spencer Dinwiddie has been quite good. For them, I think his record now, with the Mavericks is like 8-3, 8-2, something like that since he's gone there. Jason Kidd really likes his three guard lineups.
Yep.
Whether you can class Luka Doncic as a, and that's why he can get away with it as well, because can you class Doncic, who's 6'8", 6'9", as a, you know, a traditional guard, do you know what I mean? But that's what he's there at. And Davis Bertans, who really hasn't fired, I guess, since getting that big season, off-season contract.
Yeah, but, it gives them that secondary playmaker, which, they have not had, which, alleviates some of the pressure off, Luka. I guess they've got Brunson there, but I think,
he's been really good this year too, Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, I'm not knocking Brunson, but yeah, I think Dinwiddie just fits that mold. He's a bit better creator, I think.
I thought him, like in the off season, him going to Washington was a bit of a stunner. I didn't sort of see how that was going to really work there with Bradley Beal. You know, in the backcourt, you know, not really a traditional point guard as such. Yeah, the NBA is positionless at the moment anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Have a look at what, you know, circling back, have a look at what CJ has been the main ball carrier for the Pels since he's been there. So he's not a traditional ball carrier. So, you know, you can certainly get away with that sort of stuff. But yeah, I do like the way that, that kid, has sort of got this team more focused on defense, than what there has been in previous years and basically just lets Luka loose. And, you know, he's an unbelievable creator. He's like Jokic, like he sees things that you wouldn't think that are there. It's unbelievable, his court vision. So Porzingis hasn't, he's had a couple of games for the Wizards, but not many. Extreme disappointment for him so far.
The promise will always be there, but the chances of it ever being realized, I think they're pretty much gone now.
And it's real disappointing too, because like you come into the Knicks with such big fanfare. Everybody hated the pick. When he come out there, it was just like, holy crap. Like this guy's good. Mm. And when he blew out his ACL, it was just on a dunk, on a landing from a dunk. Yeah, and it's just so innocuous. And this has just plagued him for nearly 3 years now.
Yeah. Can't get over it.
No, it's crazy. Like And everybody is so, it doesn't matter which team he's been at, like even when he was at the back end of the Knicks, whether it's the Mavs and now it's with the Wizards, everybody is so unbelievably cautious with him that they don't want to overexert him. They don't, you know, resting on back to backs and things like that, you know, citing, you know, DMP on the box score, DMP rest. Like everybody is so cautious with him. It's like, I understand it, but, and each team is putting in a large investment when they've traded for him.
Yeah.
So I understand that, but there's got to be a point where it's just like, whether it's him dictating that I can't play or whether it's the medical staff that are saying, no, you should hold out.
Well, I mean, you see how his values drop, what Dallas had to give up to get him.
Oh,
as
man.
Opposed to what Washington has traded.
No, that's right. Exactly.
It's a very sharp slope. And I didn't really understand his fit with the Wizards anyway. They've got a pretty loaded front court. It'll be interesting to see what happens there, who gets moved in the offseason, I think.
Yeah, see, that'll be the thing. Like, there's rumours, there's two lots of sort of rumours floating about that I've seen. The one that Bradley Beal is, I don't know what sort of game he's playing at the moment. There's rumors floating around that Bradley Beal says, no, I absolutely want to be here in Washington. And then as of late, there's been stuff floating around that he's trying to rally himself and get to Philadelphia. So I don't know what sort of game this is with him. So yeah, that's a very interesting, scenario that would come up, I guess, at the end of the season. Washington, if I just sort of get some internet action here, they are very far adrift, even from the play-in at the moment. They are 5 games adrift from that. So, that doesn't look like a very likely scenario for them.
Promising start of the season, but it's gone downhill pretty quick.
They had a really great start to the season. They have just plummeted at the moment. Portland sort of making another deal, I guess, with the Clippers this time. They ended up getting Eric Bledsoe, Justice Winslow, and Keon Johnson, and offloaded to the Clippers, Norman Powell and Robert Covington, which I thought were two really good, pickups, for the Clippers.
For the Clippers.
Who have been, I guess, sort of life without Kawhi and PG. At this point in time, nobody knows. I think I've seen Kawhi getting some warm up reps.
I think this is more about arming themselves for next season. But having those two guys, that's two quality guys with George and Kawhi back. That makes them
a deep team. That makes their rotation unbelievable.
Yeah, but I mean they're paying out the nose, luxury tax wise, but that's a problem.
Bulmer can afford that. Come on.
But Covington,
front court with a big dirty smile on his face all the time, knowing that his crosstown rivals in the purple and gold aren't doing so well. It's fantastic.
Powell seemed to fit right in, although he's injured now. He was playing well straight off the bat, and Covington I've always respected.
Yeah, absolutely. He didn't have the greatest time in Houston. Yeah. And probably not the greatest time in Portland, even though it was a very short time there in Portland. But, they can definitely be major contributors. Hmm. Look, if we didn't have that stupid play-in garbage that they're persisting with, they're in the 8th slot.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive with what they've missed all season.
That is as impressive as you can get. It's depressing for the fans that they haven't been able to see their two big guns. You know, PG for most of the year and Kawhi for all of the year. Mm. And talk floating about out there is you're not even going to see Kawhi this year.
Yeah, I think Kawhi's pretty much off the table. Paul George hopefully comes back for the.
I think he's due back in a week or 2 weeks from that. I can't remember if it was finger or elbow. I think it was an elbow injury that he had. It's had a bit of a setback, which is a bit disappointing for him because he was really, really carrying. He was really carrying them towards the start of the season, putting up really nice numbers. So, torn ligament in his elbow. Christmas. So, man, he is way behind schedule. So, whether or not it's worth him coming back.
I think it is.
I think so. But the only problem is they stick in the 8th spot. You've got Phoenix. They're going to blast the piss out of you anyway in the playoffs. So, but at least they can say that they made the playoffs and the Lakers might not. So, that's another feather in the cap.
What can make you happier than that?
Well, that's right. When you're sharing the same arena and who knows when this new arena of theirs is, I don't know if it's being built. It's halfway being built out there, at the SoFi Stadium complex, shall we say. It's out at Inglewood, where the SoFi complex is. Hmm. The funny thing about that is, and we're sort of going on a little bit of a tangent, but I just don't get why they just don't use the Greater Western Forum. It's still there.
Guess they want their new toy.
Why did the Lakers move back there? It's a spiritual home of Showtime and all that sort of stupid crap when you're a bandwagon or Lakers fan. Like, that's Showtime. That's where it happened in the Greater Western Forum. I don't understand. Like, it's just, that's kind of funny that the Lakers didn't make any moves. That is just one hilarity after another. It's fantastic.
I mean, I said at the start, before the season started, I thought Westbrook was a terrible fit for them, and that's proven true. He was going to offer them no spacing.
He's so reckless. He's so reckless with the ball.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. I don't care about the 18-7-7. I don't care. But there's another. I don't think it's quite seven, but I think it's close. There's another. You know, there's another number in there, and it's called turnovers.
Yeah, exactly.
And him, he is. It's unbelievable how reckless he still plays. And nobody's respecting his jump shot. His athletic ability is still undeniable, but you're like, God damn, it just seems. It is just a horrible fit.
What didn't they want to give up to Houston? Was it Talon Horton Tucker or the first in 27?
Nah, I think it was the draft pick.
Yeah, see why. To get off that, at least Wall is going to play within helping your team. Westbrook is like a square peg in a round hole.
It's just looking more and more that way. Look, LeBron has been unbelievable this year. He is now the league leader in points scored. He's overtaken Joel Embiid with that 50 burger that he put up the other day against Washington. He's playing phenomenal. There's lots of critics out there that he's not really trying that hard on defense and stuff like that. Like, that's always been a stalwart in his game, that he's been really good defensively, but. Boy, some possessions that the Lakers have, he is so deflated after a turnover or a rim shaking brick that's come up from, you know, whether it's Westbrook or whoever. He just looks, his head drops. It's just like, what's the breaking point?
Yeah, nothing's going right this season. Yeah. AD's been out for most of it. It's just been a mess.
Not to say that I told you so, but I kind of told you so. Like, he's so brittle. It's something different every time. It's a sprain in the knee. Now it's a rank ankle injury. It's a shoulder. It's his neck. It's his back. It's my neck and my back. Like, you know what I mean? it's unreal how many different injuries this boy comes up with.
The only silver lining I've seen the entire season for them is the emergence of Malik Monk. I think he's been really consistent.
He has been excellent. Them prying him. Or where was he? Oh, he was at Charlotte.
Yeah.
That was one of the genius strokes. Kendrick Nunn, I thought, was a good pickup for them from the Heat, but he hasn't played
yet.
No. I don't know if he's even played double digit games this year. So, I guess that bit of youth is what, you know, LeBron needs. And I've said it to Jason for a couple of years now. I call Anthony Davis, LeBron James's oil of Olay to try and keep him young. But that lotion is not quite working at the moment.
Yeah. If you can't be on the court, then you're not offering much help.
It's, I hate the cliche, but I love the saying, the best ability is availability.
Yep, true.
And he's just not quite there. We'll sort of rattle on a couple of quick ones here. I thought, Cleveland picking up Caris LeVert was quite good.
Yep.
From Indiana, them getting Ricky Rubio. A lottery protected first, which was good, and a couple of seconds, which I don't ever buy into. I hate second round picks. I think they're worthless. But everyone seems to like to rave about them and go, oh, look at Manu Ginobili. Look at Isaiah Thomas. It's like, yeah, no, that's nice.
Exceptions to the norm. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. They're the exception, not the rule. So
just on Indiana, we just want to stick around there for a bit. Yeah. So, I think it was well overdue for them to, break it down a bit. They didn't go full reload, but it was time to move on.
They didn't nuke the team completely, but something had to happen.
Time to move on from the Twin Towers. It obviously wasn't working. I'm glad they kept Miles Turner. I think Sabonis' skill set is more easily replaceable than Turner's, to be honest.
Turner's a much better defender.
And he's got the stretch. You can get out of the perimeter. But yeah,
well, that's what I mean, and that deal as well, like, you know, where they picked up Halliburton, Heald, and Thompson is that's not bad. Like, you get a chemistry together with them, and you've got a good ball distributor. Ricky Rubio, I've always been a big fan of his on how he's a pass first point guard, and there ain't too many of them around the league these days. Hope he can sort of fit in well with Ben.
If TJ Warren ever plays again, they've got a good piece there already.
The bubble MVP.
For nearly 2 years now.
Yeah, exactly. He hasn't been seen since.
But I'm in the rare minority with the Sabonis for Halliburton trade. I don't think it was as one-sided as people make it out to be. I think Sacramento, obviously, well, they're Sacramento, so things aren't paying
Sacramento
off,
is going to Sacramento.
But I don't, until proven otherwise, on a team that's trying to win, I'll hold my judgment on Halliburton being a superstar just yet.
I think it's just the youth factor. Like he's shown a lot of promise, and that's a lot of promise with the Sacramento Kings that very rarely shows a lot of promise. So, it's sort of, I think it's a jump sideways for him. Like he hasn't gone to a better team.
No, that's right.
So, you know, as of just yet anyway, but, I think that the pickup of Buddy Hield is terrific. Always been a fan of Buddy Buckets. But, you know, Justin Holiday too, you know, going to Sacramento with Sabonis and Lamb there. So that, I mean, that's not a real bad sort of deal. You know, Indiana sort of dipping into the trade deadline, which you didn't really sort of see coming, but,
they were getting stale. It was time for a.
Yeah. I'd like to see them get a half decent sort of team together and see what Rick Carlisle can sort of do for them as well, because I've always been a fan of Rick Carlisle and, solid, you know, coach. What he does. So, I thought that was a massive pick for them. Like, you know, I'll pick up for Indiana for them to score him at the start of this year. Look, unfortunately for one of our homeboys, Joe Ingles, pretty much basically after his season ended, just before the trade deadline, he got shifted, which kind of sucked. He's now sort of shifted up to Portland. Utah ended up getting, some nice fresh picks that wouldn't have even got their jersey sewn up at Portland in Alexander Walker. And San Antonio ended up getting Tomas Satoransky, who started off the year with the Pels. So, you could tell that Joey Ingles was a little heartbroken that he was dealt, while being hurt. But yeah, I'd like to see what he could sort of do at the back end of his career. Yeah, he's the all-time leader in 3 points made in Utah history. Like, it's not going to take long for Donovan Mitchell to overtake that, but, he's still in the record books. He's right there. But yeah, I think he was genuinely heartbroken that he was dealt, you know, pretty much after surgery and the kickoff of his rehab.
Yeah, he seemed to be a bit of a fan favorite as well. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Pretty good ties there. But yeah, one thing we haven't discussed, if you had to give the overall plethora of moves for Portland a grade, what would it be?
Look, I thought they picked up some nice pieces. We don't know what they're going to do. Look, you'd give them a pass. I wouldn't give their moves as overly gigantic or needle shifting in any sort of stretch of the imagination. But, you know, they've dealt with a lot of injuries this year to their big three guys. You know, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum had that lung injury, or not injury, but, you know, had that lung issue. Yusuf Nurkic has been in and out of this lineup. There was rumors floating around that they may even try and move him, but it didn't happen. Lillard is just, he is adamant that he wants to stay in Portland.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it might, if you're going to tear it down this much, you might as well rip the foundations out. I think you need to start from scratch, go empty cupboard. That's just my opinion.
It sort of seems that's the way that they're going, but you still need some sort of little building block.
I think Simons got the potential.
Yeah, Anthony Simons. He's been, you know, one of the main sort of benefactors of Lillard not being there, and now CJ McCollum gone. Like he's been a main benefactor of what they're doing at the moment.
Nassir Little, I thought showed flashes before he got injured. He might be a solid rotation piece, but yeah, I know what you mean. You still need to get fans in the building.
They'll still get there. Like, I think they're fairly well supported up in the great white Northwest, up there. I think they're a fairly well supported team, but that team that they've had for multiple years now, I think has been a bit of a disappointment for what they could have done. You know, only making sort of one, conference final appearance.
Yeah, they didn't do enough for him. Lillard and CJ, it was never got the pieces right.
They've had some front office issues as well, which we sort of won't dip into too much because, they're very still much up in the air at the moment with what's happening in that regard. So, but yeah, look, they're definitely a team that's been on the move, especially throughout that trade deadline. So, they have sort of tailed off a little bit afterwards. They were sort of firmly entrenched in that 9-10 spot for a play-in, but they've sort of fallen out of there since the All-Star break. So, look, I think another big acquisition for the Eastern Conference and the Boston Celtics was Derek White.
That one flew under the radar, but he's fit in very well there. Obviously they've been on an absolute tear over the last 15-20 games, quickly rising up the East.
Depth. That's what they needed is depth because they can't just keep continuing on. Just we need Jaylen Brown magic. We need Jason Tatum magic and just get very small contributions from everybody else.
Hmm. That'd been great. Yeah, that was good. Very good trade.
Well, Daniel Tyus as well. Like they let him go last year. He goes to Houston and now all of a sudden they sort of this massive lopsided trade, which I thought. To get him back, they nicked off Dennis Schroeder. Like they're just like, oh no, we're throwing that in the bin. Like then Enes Kanter, Enes Freedom, whatever you want to call him, he's been turfed over there. Bruno Fernando is not very a big contributor, but I thought that was a hugely lopsided trade that they did with Houston.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Schroeder's a good offensive player, but he's a bit of a matador on D, so. Yeah, they got some toughness back.
He needs to be in the right situation. I didn't mind him with the Lakers. I thought that might have been a good pickup for them, but obviously, the front office and the powers that be on the court didn't really, think that was going to be very good for them. So they, promptly shifted him off, at the start of this year.
And they've had a couple of other guys rise up this season. I mean, Time Lord's been playing great. That started last season, I guess. But I thought the pleasant surprise has been Grant Williams. I think he's really become a solid rotation player this year.
He's been quite good this year. I think just depth, and that's what Boston has been sorely craving. Just contributions from other people other than Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. You want to see Marcus Smart contribute a little bit more. But yeah, now they've got Tyus back. Like, he's a good rebounder and an all right sort of rim protector. So, and a sort of, a physical sort of player. So, I think that's good for Boston and that could really shoot them. Yeah. The East is so tight and a couple of wins here and there. And especially if you're around that 4-5 position, can be the balance in between getting home court advantage or not. So, I think that those couple of moves there were really good for them to be able to push them up. They've been one of the better defensive teams.
Yeah,
this year.
I was going to say that's why they're actually my dark horse Eastern Conference representative in the finals is due to their perimeter D. It's rock solid. I think just about any team which has a perimeter reliance in the playoffs is going to be in deep trouble if they come up against them.
That's kind of like 95% of teams, right?
Yep, exactly.
I thought the Montrezl Harrell, what Charlotte got for Montrezl Harrell, I thought was a little bit sort of, not so much lopsided, but I didn't think he didn't have that much worth or not, did he? Like, I wasn't sure. Vernon Carey and Ish Smith, like, that's all that Charlotte got. For Montrezl Harrell. Not so much non-contributors, but you're like, wow, didn't he just sort of fall off the face of the planet when he's not in the limelight of LA?
Yeah, I mean, he's doing similar things. He's still showing that motor that he's always had, but yeah, he's always seemed to not, in my opinion, have the trade value he should, but maybe that, yeah. I don't know. I like players who go out and give 150% every game, and he definitely.
No, that's right. Yeah, and he'll never cheat. He'll never cheat you out of a performance. Like, yeah, yeah. He goes hard. I'm definitely not of the opinion that he's one of the best, sort of smaller guy rebounders since Dennis Rodman. That statement that I've heard from multiple people on television and radio media makes me sick to my stomach. For Dennis to be compared to such a lowly peon, like Montrezl Harrell when it comes to rebounding. But anyway, that's just me. Once again, that's just Washington sort of getting on the front foot and going, all right, this isn't working. Let's just sort of unload a little bit and let's see what we can come up with next year.
Yeah, I mean, they've still got like 5-6 rotational pieces, Kuzma, Gafford, Porzingis. So yeah, I mean, something had to go.
Yes. I mean, something had to go. Like they've just been a team in such purgatory really for a few years. Like, and we never really saw the best consistently out of John Wall and Bradley Beal. Since they got rid of John Wall, Bradley Beal has sort of come into his own and has been a real main sort of focus on a lot of, a lot of media outlets' lips on, ooh, where's Bradley Beal going to go? Whether or not. And if you're a Washington fan, I think you'd be a little bit dirty about that too. Them trying to sort of say, oh no, he needs to get out of Washington if he wants to do anything. And it's like, well, that's his own prerogative. Like that's
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If he wants to stay there and try and build something like Damian Lillard
wants
to do in Portland, then more power to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
see what happens there. I mean, I don't really see the fit in Philly with Harden there. That seems weird to me.
No, that when that sort of came about, I'm like, it's the same old situation as Poison once said. So there's only one ball. And for them to sort of, especially over the last few years that Bradley Beal has been extremely ball dominant, putting up lights out numbers last year, not so much this year. He's out now. I think he's got a wrist injury that's got him done for the season. Whether or not you're willing to accept, ego comes into it as well. Joel Embiid. Yeah, he likes to have the ball in his hands as well. You know, we know that James Harden likes to dribble the absolute air out of the ball. With Bradley Beal sort of being that third wheel, I guess, what sort of chemistry can that produce? I'm not sure. Like on paper, that seems unbelievable. But, so did teaming LeBron James, Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. But, that hasn't quite worked out. But I think, their definite off-season team at the moment to see what sort of moves that they do to try and give Beal some help, I guess, to try and keep him there. They're definitely a team to sort of talk about because they're in the 11th spot at the moment. But yeah, like we said, they're 5.5 games out of the 10 spot. So that at this point of the season is very hard to try and make up.
They're basically the Bucks pre Giannis for the last several seasons. they're in that middle ground between not sucking enough to get a high draft pick and not being good enough to make a dent.
No, that's right. And you've got to really hit on those. If you're in the 10 to 15 spot in the draft, you're not getting you don't think you're getting your absolute hit prospects. You've got to try and find that right guy who's going to fit in your system.
Yeah, exactly.
which can be hard to do. Not that it's impossible. And, plenty of guys have been, mid to late round terrific picks. It can happen. Not everybody scouts as good as everybody. And we've also seen that, we've had flops, in the first five picks. So, I guess sort of.
Is Anthony Bennett still alive? Just ask him.
Ooh, they. Oh boy, what was Cleveland thinking? Oh my God. Like that was, I remember that draft too. And it's just like, when they announced it, Anthony Bennett, UNLV, it's just like, so what? Like he wasn't putting up eyeball popping numbers or anything at UNLV. And it's just like, why? Yeah, what is that?
Odd one.
That's such a baffling number one pick.
Probably now playing for the Tanzania Sabretooth Div 2 team or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I thought he was in Canada.
Oh, okay, back home.
Yeah, I thought he'd gone back home and might be playing. You know, I don't know, Div 3, Montreal. I don't know.
Pick up ball.
Yeah, Montreal Rough Riders. Like, I don't know. I guess if we sort of move on, I guess to sort of a few little things, sort of post All-Star game. Like we said, the East, very compact, from 1 through to 6, only about 6 games separating them. The Miami Heat, who have been, I guess, exceeding everybody's expectations. I think the Bucks are really starting to come into their own throughout this probably latter part of the season.
Yep.
Philadelphia is only going to go from strength to strength, I think, with James Harden. But what are your sort of thoughts on the top half of the East?
Well, I mean, I've said it many times. The Heat have Spoelstra. He can do a lot with not much.
Who would have thought anybody would be saying that 10 years ago?
Yeah. And now he has
the Miami Heat have got this mastermind in Eric Spoelstra. Like, you know what I
mean? He's a great coach. Great developer. I think Miami
culture.
Pretty...
Heat culture. That's what I hear. I listen to a podcast that's very Miami. That's very Miami centric. And it's all about the culture. That's what it's about. Udonis Haslam. Culture. That's all you want to hear.
I reckon that they're a lock for the number one. I'm hoping the Bucks lock down 2 just so they don't have to play the Heat until the finals, because they never match up well. Apart from the playoffs last year, they've never matched up well against the Heat.
The Bucks won a championship, so but yeah, in previous incarnations of that season, yeah, the Heat, and look, they're very different over the past couple of years as well, so. That's just one jersey versus another jersey. Like it'll be interesting to see what these two, you know, incarnations of, you know, team rosters will be like in a matched up series.
Mm. Yeah, I think Boston's actually going to bypass Bulls and Philly, get up to 3. Be those two, then it'll be a bit of a tussle for the last few spots, I think.
Yeah, look, that sort of bottom half, and who would have thought that, over previous years that, you know, an 8 spot in the East that you'd actually have to be over 500.
Times are exciting.
There's been a momentum swing, because you have a look at the bottom of the West, and, you know, with the Clippers being 1 game over 500, and then you've got the Lakers who are 9 games below 500,
yeah,
and the Pels who are 12 games below 500. Mm. It's a very top heavy conference, but they've got some good guns. I think you're right with, I don't believe, like I said before, I don't believe at all in what Chicago and Cleveland will do in the playoffs. I think they'll be a bit of a pop gun. I don't think they're going to be a cannon at all. Absolutely. I think that Boston will, the top four in the East is really hard to sort of separate. I think, those semifinal series and whoever makes, that'll be a bloodbath. Like the second round of the play, the semifinals and the Eastern Conference finals will be an absolute bloodbath, because those teams, even those top six teams, you know, you take Boston, you take Cleveland, Toronto have done extremely well to be where they are at the present moment. I think can't be sort of overstated as well. But those top half matchups, that's going to be trouble, and it's all going to be about matchups.
Yeah, Toronto, I agree. Yeah, that was going to be my next thing to say. Lower ranked team, which I think could cause some upsets quite easily,
and a quite a good record on the road as well, like 5 games above 500 on the road. So they're not really, You know, not really afraid of being a road team. They're sort of playing in front of about, looks like about 50 people at in Toronto for their home game. So that still sort of sucks for them that they can't get a full arena there at the Air Canada Centre, which is a bit disappointing. But they've been really impressive this year, and for them to be where they are. I've talked a fair bit about Atlanta this year, especially at the start of the year. I kind of knew that they were going to be a flash in the pan. They played better as of late, but they've been a big disappointment, especially coming off an Eastern Conference Finals appearance.
Bit of a Cinderella run, but I don't think that was heavily disputed that was the case. I don't think anyone pegged them as a powerhouse this year.
We said it straight up off the bat, like the season was a month old and Trae Young had come out and said he's bored already. Like that's not good. And then when you're in free fall at the start of the year and you're not a very good team, he is putting up phenomenal numbers, like 27-9. Like it's crazy what he's doing, but they don't have those contributors like they did last year.
Yeah. Capella has to be anywhere near what he was last year.
No, he's been even Bogdanovich is like, was that a good move for them? It was last year, but it hasn't really panned out sort of this year. Everything is going through Trae Young. So look, they're in the mix, but I don't think they're going to have. They're not going to cause too many problems. Unless you sort of get another Trae Young sort of hot streak. But, the Western Conference, I think is very, very top heavy. Those top six, in Phoenix, who are going to have to deal without the heart and soul CP3 until the playoffs, which, man, does he just gets injured at the worst times. Like, I suppose it could be worse. It could be like, when the playoffs with Houston and they had a 3-2 lead against the eventual champion Golden State Warriors and Houston couldn't close that out.
Yeah.
With James Harden. I think that sort of looks like it hasn't really stunted them at the moment.
They're a machine for the regular season. I think it'll depend on how. It might actually be beneficial. Might give CP3 some nice fresh legs for the playoff run.
That'd be good. Did you see the injury though? Like the way his finger bent when he just had an overhead pass and his finger. Oh, it didn't look good at all. Yeah, and it's like, he could be in a bit of trouble. That's him shot until the playoffs at least. Devin Booker has missed a few games back now, but he's missed a few games as of late, being in the COVID protocols. He's back now, back to his old self. DeAndre Ayton he hasn't really made a huge leap from last year, but is still a really nice piece for them at the center.
It's a nice third piece to have. It's not bad being third when you're behind Booker and CP3.
No, absolutely.
Pretty good company.
Cameron Payne has sort of really stepped into that point guard role and looks really comfortable like he did a couple of years ago.
And you got Bridges, who should be a first ballot defensive team.
Absolutely. Yeah, he should be there or at least on the second team, all defensive. So, Jay Crowder sort of hasn't really had the year that he did last year. He's been a bit up and down this year. But they've definitely got the guns. It doesn't look like it's affected them that much. And they should have a fairly breezy first round opponent. Doesn't matter who they get. So, that'll give CP3 time to sort of work some of the cobwebs out once he comes back for the playoffs. Memphis have been an unbelievable surprise this year. I think they're this year's Atlanta Hawks.
I was going to say the same thing. Too young, but I mean, it's impressive how much they've improved.
Oh, out of sight. Absolutely out of sight. Ja Morant is just made an unbelievable jump this year. They've got Jaren Jackson Jr., who's been an actual contributor this year, which has been really good.
Desmond Bane.
Dylan Brooks, Desmond Bane.
Yeah, so
they've got Yeah. And yeah, then you've got, you know, probably the hardest man who set screens in the NBA and Steven Adams there as well. So, look, I mean, we said it at the start of the year. I thought the trade for, you know, Baines and Valanciunas was one of those sort of rare trades where it's been a sort of a blessing for both teams.
Yeah.
Valanciunas has been a massive contributor for the Pels this year. And both, Steven both Adams looks like a really good fit.
Yeah. Better fits for both teams. Yeah.
The Warriors, I mean, not really much to say about the Warriors. You've seen, Klay Thompson erupt, a couple of days ago.
Yeah, that was,
against
that was
your, against your boys.
Nah, he was unbelievable in that game.
Yeah, that's his best game since coming back. So
They're a proven product, but, you know what you're getting with the Warriors. They'll be right in the thick of it.
Well, and that's the thing too with Draymond Green coming back like that. Look, they're they've been a 500 team since they haven't been with Draymond Green.
Mm.
So I don't think that's to be sneezed at. And you know, sort of looking forward once Green comes back, I don't think he's going to be immaculate to start off with. Mm. But once they've still got, you know, there's still what 15, nearly 20 games or so to go till the playoffs.
Yeah.
Draymond Green's meant to be back this week, so once he starts to work himself back into the rotation, Andre Iguodala's meant to be back soon. James Wiseman has had a couple of games with the G League team, but he looks like he could be back soon. So they're getting some guys back at the right time of the year.
I think he's already been surpassed by Moody and Kuminga.
I think
he might be gone next year.
Right, they've forgotten about him. Yeah. Absolutely. Utah has made a bit of a resurgence from a mid-season slump.
Yep.
They sort of really, the arse dropped out of them for a little bit there.
They're at the stage where they've just got to prove it in the playoffs. Regular season doesn't mean anything anymore.
Nope. Yeah. Look, and you could have said that against Phoenix up until last year. That's the next jump for them is to make a conference final, to make an NBA finals. You know, talk around, you know, there's a rift beginning again between Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Once again, I guess sort of the New York centric media, oh, Donovan Mitchell coming to the Knicks. It's just like, oh, for God's sakes, like when was the last big free agent or anything they got? There just hasn't been one like that. It's just, it's unbelievable the delusion of Knicks fans. And look, I've got a very big soft spot for the Knicks.
They got him 40, mate. That's
oh, that's right. Oh, Kemba Walker. Like what a great pickup that is. That they decided to go, Kemba, we're going to bench you for the rest of the season. And rather than him go, oh, well, I want out of here. He's gone. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'll take the free money.
That's unbelievable. It's free money. But you want to be playing though, right? Like how do you just take that and just go, eh, all right then. I cannot believe that he hasn't sort of come out and gone, yeah, well, you know what? You know, you're not going to play me. I think I can still be a contributor and I'd like to go somewhere else, but nope. I'll just kick back. Probably won't even get me warm ups on. Have myself a nice latte before the game while everyone's doing all their crap warming up and everything. And I'll just collect my paycheck.
Enjoy the game, fellas.
Yeah, enjoy the beat down of the body, boys. I'm going to be sweet for the rest of this year. It's great. That's unbelievable. That's truly, truly unbelievable.
Isn't John Wall in a similar predicament, or does he want to
play? He's just sitting on his ass at Houston because they're going a full youth movement, and they've sort of said to him, well, we don't want to sort of screw up with our young guys here, so you can just, we'll pay you, and you can just, you know, get some splinters right on the end of the bench. That's why the deal that fell through, I guess, with the Lakers just even more didn't make any sense. Like Waller's going to be chafing at the bit.
Yeah, get out there.
To be trying to come into a team and go, hey, look, I could still play.
Yeah. Like proved last year he could.
No, exactly. It's bizarre that he's healthy and they're not even budging. That there was not a lot of calls from what I sort of read to Houston about him. Clearly, Houston wants too much for him. And I think a lot of the league knows that.
I don't think a protected 2027 first round pick is that much to give up to get off, the Westbrook Express train to nowhere.
No, well, that's it. And it's a rather large contract on that Express train to nowhere. So yeah. I think contract wise, they're both fairly similar because I think John Wall, he's on a rather large contract as well. So it made all the sense in the world, but it just didn't happen. So that was just, it made me laugh anyway. So Dallas and Denver sort of round out that top six. Dallas is really making an ascension since the new year has begun, and only getting sort of better, I think, with the addition of Spencer Dinwiddie. I think you have Boston as your sort of bit of a dark horse in the East. I really think Dallas is a dark horse in the West. I really do. I think, you know, once Luka is set and locked in, look, I really wanted that Luka Porzingis thing to work.
Okay,
yeah. Kind of didn't. I think they can trouble a lot of those big guns up the top.
Yeah, it was a shame to see. I think there seemed to be some, from what I read, there were some personal issues between him and Doncic and Porzingis, which is a shame. So it looked like a good pairing, but yeah, it just never worked out.
Yeah, whether or not there was any resentment. And you'd hope there's no resentment that it's just like, oh, why can't this boy stay healthy? But, you know, that they needed him. They needed contributions from KP, and it just didn't come. Like, the body just didn't look like it was going to hold up. So I thought they were a fairly dangerous team with him there, you know, 7'3" and a solid enough rebounder, but, you know, a dead eye from downtown. If he developed, you know, some sort of post game or a nice fadeaway or something like that, how are you going to block that? He's 7'3".
Yeah, exactly.
It's an impossible thing to be able to defend. So, you know, a la sort of Giannis.
They're doing well. I mean, as we spoke about, Dinwiddie playing well. And, I mean, they got a solid team. I don't know. Is Hardaway Jr.'s out, isn't he?
He was out. I think he's back. I think he had a thumb injury there for a little bit on the shooting hand. He has missed the last, significant games. I'm thinking 10 to 15 games, but I think he may be back. I can't confirm that. But he's definitely a main cog in there as well. Like somebody who can sort of not so much create his own shot, but he's as confident as you'll ever be as a, you know, as a shooter or thinking that I can get off on this game. So I've always been a fan of Tim Hardaway Jr. I love my Michigan Wolverines and seeing him sort of, you know, plug along being, you know, I guess sort of shift around the league a little bit as well, you know, sort of like Seth Curry. I think once he comes back, he'd been off the bench most of this season too. So
yeah, sort of
that's a good
bench,
call. Yeah, absolutely. And Denver's been, without the guys that they've had this year, no Jamal Murray, no Michael Porter Jr.
Bloody impressive.
God damn.
If that's my dark horse in the West, if those two can come back any semblance of being anywhere close to 100%.
I don't know if Jamal Murray is coming back.
I thought they were pretty much both.
I've heard Porter Jr. it could be back before the playoffs, but I've read that Jamal Murray is a little, I think he's a little behind on rehab. I think he could be shelved. Which would be a huge blow.
Yeah, I mean, if they both can't come back, and play at 90% of full capacity with what Jokic has done this season, that would be pretty bloody scary.
I mean, and Minnesota being 10 games above 500 too, that's mind-boggling.
Shock of the season, yeah.
I think even more of a shock than what Cleveland has been this year.
Yeah.
Like, that just doesn't make any sense. Like, yeah, Karl Anthony Towns is sort of gone, I guess, from strength to strength. He's been the backbone of this sort of team and carrying them a fair bit. You know, D'Angelo Russell is... They've got some nice complementary pieces, but, you know, they're two big guns there.
Yeah. Did you mention Edwards?
And Anthony Edwards as well. Like, you know, he's averaging like 22, 23 a game. So, you know, in his second year.
They got two good pieces around them that, I know everyone thinks Patrick Beverley's a bit of a tosser, but I think he's a feisty little scrapper, and I love those sorts of guys. And
He's another one that won't cheat you out of a performance.
Yep, and same as Jared Vanderbilt. He's a lunch pail sort of guy, does the dirty work, and that's what makes that starting five.
Second year for him, third year for him?
Yeah. Second or third. I think they have the best starting five net rating in the league, that five-man combination.
That is as mind-boggling as it gets, because it's just been so long, I guess, since we've sort of seen Minnesota be any sort of resemblance of relevant in the Western Conference for such a long time. So
of a proficient team. Yeah.
No, that's right. And yeah, well, I don't think that they'll scare too many of the big guns.
Nice little story. Yeah.
No, that's right. Yeah, they'll still probably get waxed in the first round, but you know, for them to make the playoffs, I think will be a significant achievement for them.
Hmm.
Well, if they sort of stick there, like that's rough for them that they've sort of, and that's the thing I don't like, especially when there's such a disparity between, you know, 7 and 8 and 9 and 10, and that's why I hate this play on precedence. Because it's ridiculous. The Lakers are so far behind everybody. The Pelicans are so far behind everybody. But anybody can beat anybody on any given Sunday.
Mm.
And if they knock off one of those, that's so unfair that you can be 10 or 12 wins better than that opponent. But they all of a sudden, you know, like Brooklyn, get healthy. And then this team that's worked so hard to get to where they are, boom, boom, 2 losses, see you later, and you're gone.
Proper playoff experience. Yeah.
Yeah, so. I just, you know, I say all the time, life's not fair, but that's how you, I don't see the value in this play-in tournament. I just don't.
What are your thoughts on going to a open, structured 1-16 playoffs?
Logistically, it's impossible.
Why do you say that?
You've seen how big America is?
Yeah. But I mean, people do road trips. Teams do road trips.
Yeah, oh, I know that. But I think logistically, to try and squeeze those games in, especially if you're getting lots of East Coast versus West Coast teams, say you get Boston versus Dallas or something like that, that's a big trip. You get Brooklyn versus one of the LA teams. That's a near 6-hour flight.
Do you increase the cross-country gap between games?
But they don't want to do. That's the mean. They don't want to do that. That's the thing. Like you just want to keep your traditional, you know, game, rest game. Have your two games at home, because they want to have the series. Unlike what they used to do back in the day, it used to be 2-3-2.
Mm.
So you'd have whoever had the home court advantage would have two. Then the away team would have the next three games, and then the home team again would have the next two games back in their home arena. Now they want to have it as 2-2-2-1.
Mm.
So that just adds two extra
trips,
meaningless flights if it goes to a seven game series. Yeah. So if you have cross country, I don't think the players are gonna like that. Especially like if it just so happens to be for four series, do you know what I mean? Like that could happen in four series. I think it's just an absolute logistical nightmare.
Well, what about they go back to the bubble play-in where you had to be within sort of five games of the eighth place to qualify for that chance to do that, so you're not having games that are way out of the mix?
I don't like the bubble precedence at all. I think
it's just
already half 16 teams out of 30 make the playoffs. That's more than half the league.
I just don't like to just go,
oh, we need to keep everybody engaged. Just let them play better throughout the regular season.
Yeah.
Play better.
That's a good point. But, I mean, yeah, I hate seeing teams tank as well, so.
No, that's right. But we're still going to see teams tank anyway.
Yeah.
We're still going to see it. I just don't see the value in it. Like, it's shit that teams are going to tank. But teams are going to tank no matter what. They'll find a way. It's only for these teams that are, you know, we're just on the outside looking in, but it's proven over the last couple of years that the teams that are in the 9 and 10 spot aren't anywhere close to the 8.
Yeah.
It's different. It's because that the West was so dominant and had so many good teams for so long that, oh, we've got to give these guys a shot. So, you know, it keeps them interested towards the end of the season. Hmm. But fatigue is going to break you down anyway. Like, it's not about the, some of it is mental, but some of it's physical as well. Like, if you're broken down, if you've had a torrid season, then it's still hard to get yourself up for games. It doesn't matter what the stakes are. Yeah, I just don't like the precedence of, hey, let's all get a participation ribbon. You get a ribbon. You get a ribbon. Here you go. You can make the playoffs. You're 10th best in the conference. So that means there's only five other teams that are crapper than what you are. But yeah, here you go. Have a token playoff appearance. It's rubbish.
There's that many games under 500. It is pretty hard to swallow. It's
no, that's right.
Pretty gross to see teams like that having a chance.
Exactly. I don't want to, and this year everyone's going to say, oh, it's good. That means we get to see LeBron in the playoffs. But then we get to see the rest of his trash ass team. Like, that's the problem. Like, nobody wants to see the Pels in a play. Nobody wants to see 12 games under 500. Hmm. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see Portland if they squeeze in there in some sort of, you know, one of them. Nobody wants to see that.
At least that way there'd be a chance the Nets wouldn't make the eight if we didn't have the play, and that'd make
me kind of funny.
Yeah.
That would be kind of funny. And that would just, right now, that would mean the Lakers wouldn't be in the playoffs, and that would be unbelievably hilarious. That's just, like you said, that's just, like Kent Brockman says, that's my two cents. All right, I reckon that'll just about do us. We're getting towards the pointy end of the season. So it'll be interesting to sort of see, who begins to really come into form, before we hit the playoffs, which are probably, I think they're about another three to four weeks away.
Yep.
That'll be interesting to see, what sort of happens there. We'll continue on with these NBA pods over the next sort of, we'll get a couple of weeks in. Hopefully we get another one in before the playoffs start, and then we'll go through some playoff series and stuff once the big boy teams put on the big boy pants and play in some actual meaningful games. So that'll be fun too. So so welcome to Maddie. Welcome aboard for the NBA. We'll keep charging on with this as the playoffs approach. So yeah, this will be a good, I really hope Phoenix can get a chip, and not for the team itself. I just want Chris Paul. I just want him to get that ring.
I want Giannis to make him wipe his butt with the ring. So
I know, and you'd be happy. You got your championship. Get the hell out of here.
I need a three-peat, mate.
I don't want to hear that D word. I don't want to hear dynasty or anything of that. A dynasty happens when a dynasty happens. Not, oh, I think a dynasty can happen. Nah. It happens when
it's an organic
happens.
Thing. Yeah,
you
right.
Can't predict that sort of stuff, especially this year, the league being fairly tight as it is. Like this, this could be a total crapshoot.
It's exciting. And a lot of teams that could win, which makes
absolutely.
Much more fun to watch.
I'm quietly excited for these playoffs, which I haven't been for a few years. And even that's with, the Pelicans, not me, not being sort of in the mix really for a playoff run. I'm very interested to see who can, especially out of the East. I think that's going to be, that's going to be a bloodbath.
Mm. Looking forward to it.
It should be great. So you can get all of our pods, on our Facebook page. So if you just Facebook search, the Final Play Podcast, you'll see us pop up. You can give us a like and a follow on there. You can also get our podcasts on SoundCloud and on Spotify, which are fairly easy to get. They're on the link as well on the Facebook page, but you can also just search us on those platforms. Give us a like and a follow. You can also get us on, gimko.com.au, which is gimko.com.au. Always a big shout out to the boys there, Steve and Dom, letting us put our pods up on there. Check out those guys as well on Eureka Sports Cards on Facebook and on that website as well. They've got a couple of NBA A couple of NBA breaks that they're still trying to fill. One with National Treasures Collegiate, which is fairly cheap, $65 a pop. Still got 15 spots left in that, and another NBA Friday that they're still trying to get spots for. So check those out. I'll share those links that you can get to those breaks on the Facebook page, so you can check those guys out. Always best value. Yeah, always got the best shit. I love them. Been a big supporter of them for a while. So yeah, check those guys out. But yeah, our podcasts are available on their platform as well. On their actual website, which you go through the community section on there, and you go down and just click on the podcast section. They've also got a podcast network on Spotify. So if you just search Gimko, G-I-M-K-O, on Spotify, and they've also got a podcast network on there, which you can give them a like, and all of our podcasts are available on that as well. All right, Matty, that'll do us. We'll see you guys, or you'll hear from us probably in a couple of weeks, just before the playoffs are about to begin, and we'll give you some more hot garbage takes and some more laughter at the Lakers if they continue to carry on down this path.
Nothing better. Thanks again, Miles. Thanks for having me, and nice to meet you all.
That's all right. Yeah, it's great. So Matty will be a part of us for the NBA and possibly for the start of the NFL season. I don't know what before we hit the stop record button. I knew it was going to happen. Did you know it was going to happen?
No.
Until Tom Brady had his hand chopped off. he was coming back. You don't make decisions 2 days after your season has just ended. That was crazy. I said to Jason, I said, until that season has started and there is no Tom Brady in number 12 at Tampa, I'm saying he's coming back.
There's only so much avocado ice cream he can take.
I reckon Giselle just like, is this what it's going to be like for the rest of our lives? Nah, go away for another couple of years. I'm not ready for this yet. I'm really not. It's been the start of the league season too. Like, you know, that could be something that we could sort of get into as well on another talk as well. Whew, boy, didn't the league season just erupt with free agent signings and, you know, obviously the talk about Brady coming back and, you know, we've had a couple of, you know, pretty damn good quarterbacks, one shifting and one not shifting. I think that makes things very interesting for next year.
Indeed.
Russell Wilson playing in a Broncos uniform is going to be really hard to see.
To adjust to, yeah.
That's going to be really hard to see. but with Aaron Rodgers as well, like, what I find funny about it is, just before we go, is I don't know how a 4-year, $200 million deal and $153 million guaranteed is a cap-friendly, in inverted commas, deal. I don't see how that's very cap-friendly.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing them too many favours.
He's doing his pockets favours.
Oh, yeah.
But, that's handcuffed. That's handcuffed Green Bay a bit.
It's a lot of cash for one player.
Yeah, that's right. And look, yeah, you should be happy your boy's coming off a Super Bowl appearance.
Yep.
My boys,
Garden Center I saw today. That's right.
Losing CJ Zuma, though, that's killer.
Yeah, but he's a tight end. That can be replaced. We've got plenty of other guys.
They grow on trees at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all I can say is, yeah, my guys were a New York Giants loss away from making the playoffs, which I thought was, very admirable for the Saints. That's such a disgusting loss that they had in week five or whatever it was, letting those disgraceful New York Giants in New Orleans come back and beat you in overtime. It just makes me sick. But anyway, should be a fun season. You know, it's a long, long off season for the NFL, but there's generally a fair bit to talk about. So we might be able to sort of squeeze in one of those once the league season sort of dies down and we get a bit closer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Should be fun. All right, everybody.
Into the fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Matty. We'll see you next time since we do this online and we only live like 10 minutes away from each other. But, yay for technology and Yay for internal combustion engine cars.
Exactly.
All right. Take care, everybody. See ya.
Cheers.